Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
This time last year, Féile O'Sullivan was involved in a tragic, devastating farm accident that resulted in her losing both her legs in that incident. It's now 1 year on. She's upbeat and all set to return to school. And her mum, Maureen, is with us here on the programme today. Maureen, you're very welcome. It's lovely to talk to you today on the show.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thanks very much.
How is Féile doing?
Oh, she's doing fantastic now, thank God. She's doing away her OT and physio all day now today. So
it's been a busy 12 months for, well, not just for Féile, but for you and the entire family as well.
Yeah, it has. It's been a big 12 months, but you know what? Thank God it's on the up and up now.
Yeah,
so that's great.
Which is great. Can you, in as much, Maureen, as you feel comfortable talking about, can you bring us back to that day? I'm sure it's to the fore of your mind, but can you bring us back and tell us when you first became aware of what happened?
Yeah, I got a phone call just to say that there had been an accident, and when I arrived on site, I obviously realised the extent of it. And then shortly after that, we had all the emergency services, and Féile was being airlifted to Cork. When we got to Cork, then I suppose I drove after her. Well, a family friend actually brought me up. And then obviously we were given the devastating news that it wasn't going to be good. And, you know, that, look, there was only time and get everyone here, get all the members of the family there. So, just on that mark that I suppose we didn't realise this was the extent when she was being airlifted. We knew it was bad, but I suppose it's when it gets verbalised to you, you realise how bad it is. And then I rang all my family basically and told them, look, it's time, we need to all be here at this time. And then they all arrived, and shortly after that we were told that there was only a 33% chance, and I was jumping up and down thinking it was the best thing ever, and everyone thought that I was delusional and a bit obviously I wasn't understanding what was being said.
Yeah.
But I suppose I had already thought that it was 100%, whereas we'd then gotten a 33% chance that she was going to live. So I suppose that to me was brilliant news. To everyone else, it was devastating. That was kind of the first day. And then I suppose she was kind of in surgery nearly on and off for the next 7 days.
That was she'd been transferred from West Cork to Dublin at that point, Maureen, had she?
Yeah, she had. Yeah, she had been transferred. Yeah. So she'd been transferred from CUH up to Crumlin at that point. And then she, I suppose from there on, she was in Crumlin until just kind of at Christmas time. Then after Christmas, she moved to the NRH.
For rehabilitation.
For a period of time. Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure that was extremely intense on her.
Yeah, do you know what? It is tough going. Like, she's exhausted every evening because it is, they really do put it to her paces. At the weekend, she's quite happy to go back to Crumlin to get her rest and to get to her familiar faces again. So it's quite, it is, she's definitely exhausted, but come Friday, every Friday. So
she's only 12 years of age when this happened, wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't feel like it. In my head, she's an adult in so many ways, but then obviously she says something and I'm like, oh, wait a second, you're a child. I'm like, wait, it brings me back to being like, oh, yeah, no, you've been through an awful lot and you know an awful lot and you've experienced an awful lot, but I suppose at the end of the day, you're still a child. And, you know, that's something that we kind of need to keep reminding. I'd often have to remind surgeons and nurses and be like, she's still a child, you know, because she speaks like everyone else in the room. She's very knowledgeable about everything that's happened. Just because, like, it kind of was the best way to keep her involved and keep her involved in her own decisions about her own life and kind of what was going forward.
And I'm sure that's difficult as her parent, as mum, Maureen, is it to, you know, to kind of to even decide how you approach something like this when, you know, it can happen in the split second?
In a lot of ways, I suppose we were lucky. Like, my son Taylor, it was a two-person household for a long time, so it was more of a partnership. And then obviously breaching into, oh yeah, I need to remember I'm the mom, a lot of the time. So the hardest part for me was making decisions when she wasn't awake and she wasn't able to verbalise what she wanted or, you know, verbalise what she felt would be best for her. I think that was probably more difficult, and making these decisions on her behalf was difficult, without having her input and then hoping that I'd done the right thing and that she'd be okay with it and she'd be able to deal with it, I suppose, after the fact.
So she's in over the last 12 months, even with the move to the rehabilitation hospital and also her care at Crumlin, like I'm sure that's been exceptionally complex in terms of the number of surgeries, probably too, Maureen, that she's had to endure.
Yeah, yeah. And to be fair, like I say, she has a lot of understanding of everything. She's endured it. We're just the onlookers, and we're the ones who are trying to catch up in our heads to figure out what's after happening, and what they've done each surgery, and kind of deal with what that means now. And, you know, does that mean a good thing, a bad thing? You know, does it mean she'll have more surgeries, or what will it actually mean down the road even? Would it mean she'll be able to get that prosthetic or not get that prosthetic? You know, these are all the kind of questions that are still, I suppose, open, and there's still an awful lot of open-ended questions still to be answered. But thank God, like I always say, she's quite easygoing and doesn't fret the small stuff, but doesn't fret too much, thank God. She kind of lives in the day, so I'm lucky in that.
Has she a prosthetic at this stage?
Yeah, she has a prosthetic on a residual limb at present that she's able to stand on.
Yeah, so she has that, and then obviously with the accompaniment of a wheelchair as well.
Yeah, yeah. So she's full time in the wheelchair, and then, like, you know, she's only learning now to stand at present.
Yeah.
So hopefully by the time she's going home, she might be able to, I don't know, stand and get something out of the shelf, or, you know, that kind of way, or just be able to stand and put on the microwave, or, you know, these kind of things.
There was great rally support though, Maureen, wasn't there? You know, back home, and fundraising efforts goes with that.
Yeah, I suppose you don't realise how lucky you are to be from a community that you're from until it's usually when something bad happens, which isn't ideal, but then your eyes really open to it. We were very lucky to have the Stand for Féile and have the committee that we had with Finbar, Ollie, Liz and Kermuck, you know, like that they just kind of came to the forefront and kind of took it on. And then everyone just rallied in behind them. Like as difficult as it was for them to set it up and everything, it made it an awful lot easier when people just started doing fundraiser after fundraiser. And I suppose the part that I couldn't get over was the ideas people came up with. It wasn't just the generic, you know, I'd be the first person to say, let's do a table quiz, you know, let's do a run, let's do, you know, it was things that I hadn't even heard of, like these auctions and, you know, like, there was even the auctions in the marsh, there was table quizzes. There was a table quiz actually around the 15th of August, around our own festival, that like the whole of the street was filled with tables, which I'd never seen. And I've been at that festival all my life and I've never seen it, you know. So So even things like that. And I suppose like the things that people came up with was just ideas that they felt that they could push forward, that, oh, look, this is something different. People might come to this now, you know, and whether her name is attached to it or not in some ways, you know. But it was just amazing the amount of people who came, I will say, out of the woodwork and just threw their hat in the ring to help was just phenomenal. Like, I couldn't count that high. As to the amount of people who helped.
Yeah, which is lovely in a difficult time for Féile and yourself and the rest of the family and close friends, Maureen, that, you know, that you're, as you say, in a position to say that there was so much strong support there for y'all, which is absolutely fantastic. What about at home? And, you know, I suppose kind of adapting now to Féile's needs. How challenging is that?
Yeah, like at the moment we're looking at a variation of kind of adaptations, I suppose. We're really lucky that our landlords actually adapted our house for us. So it's a massive worry that I don't even have to take on. They've adapted the bathroom and the doors and, you know, the entrance to the house and stuff. So like, obviously a massive thank you to them. We've thanked them personally anyway, but like just things like that, like, you know, that people have just done things as well that I think I haven't even had to like go, oh yeah, shoot, I need to do that. And then it's like, it's, you know, like there's been a lot of things taken off the plate. But we are building our own home at the moment. We had began last year, the foundations and everything were down. So that had to be redrawn out again. Like I think I've drawn it now 6 times since. Because I kept it as a 2-story originally, and then I decided, you know what, just reapply for planning and just start off again with bungalow and just see what we can do from there. Just because it just made things simpler in the long run for us, and it meant that it could be just, she could be able to access every corner of that house rather than trying to retrofit a build that hadn't even been built. I suppose. So, but again, we had massive help even in the redrawing of it, you know.
Which is great.
Architects volunteer to help and, you know, just amazing.
Yeah. So that's happening. That's happening at the moment, the home house. And that'll be a big day for you, for you all when you get into that and everything that has to be decided.
Now,
of course it is. Yeah, it's quite
exciting now because we're kind of getting to the stage now that we'll start seeing walls soon. So it'll be quite exciting to go home at that time, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just something to really look forward to. It's another thing that's kind of kept us going too, is kind of looking forward and looking at the future of us being in that home and being able to do things in that home. And you know what, it'll be the mark of our new life, like realistically, like as in part of our old life will be in the other house and then our new life will be in the new house, do you know?
Yeah, which is lovely, as you say, kind of in Mark and what is a new chapter.
Like new beginnings, yeah.
Fail is 13 now. Is she starting secondary school this September?
She's actually going to third year.
Third year she's in, back. Yeah, but she's back to school in September is the plan.
Yeah.
And she's looking forward to that.
Yeah, she can't wait now, to be fair, be around with all her friends again and just be able to kind of live her life, I suppose, rather than living a life adjacent to me and the hospital and, you know.
Yeah.
So just, be able to switch back into herself, which is really nice.
And the independence, I suppose, too, of even just being back, you know, with friends and in the classroom and all that kind of goes with that will be important to her as well.
That's it. And not have, like, people hovering, you know, as in, like, she'll be able to have these conversations with her friends without, you know, me being around or being in the same room nearly, you know. So that'll be making a big difference. She'll be able to be back to herself more.
She sounds like a really resilient kid.
She is. She really, really is. She just kind of, she just gets on with it. Yeah. She just doesn't think twice. She just kind of goes, sure, why wouldn't I? There's no other option, like, you know. So, she just kind of like that now. She kind of always plows forward.
Well, look, it's lovely to hear that she's, you know, that Fail is doing so well, and that, as you say, Maureen, things have, you know, turned a corner, and the positivity about going back to school and all that that brings. We wish her all the best and continued success with her recovery. And it's lovely to chat to you today on the programme, Maureen,
thank
as well.
Thank you so much.
Not at all.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for the time. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Maureen O'Sullivan there telling us about Fela, who, as she said, obviously as a result of a devastating farm accident, but returning back to school this September. And it's great to just hear a little bit of upbeat and, you know, positive news after what was obviously an exceptionally difficult time for the O'Sullivan family.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.